We see a way that God saves these people. A way that they've never been saved before. Israel. He saved us, opened a new and a living way for us through our Lord Jesus Christ into the holiest of holies through the blood of our Lord Jesus Christ. And here in Exodus 14, God's leading this new nation of Israel. And in doing this, we have a typical picture of God's dealing with His elect as He saves them. And He brings them out. He brought them out by covenant. Covenant with Abraham and the promise He made to Abraham. And He brought them out. He brought them out by covenant and by promise. And as we read and confronted with these verses of Scripture, and they're standing here before the Red Sea, we see how God deals with the sinner. When the Holy Spirit comes, He begins to convince the soul of three things of sin. First, because they don't believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. That's sin, not to believe on Him. And the second is judgment or righteousness. Convince them of righteousness if they don't have one. That there's only one righteousness, that's the Lord Jesus Christ. And of judgment. Either you're going to be judged or Christ's going to be judged. And when He convinces you of those three things, of sin and righteousness and judgment, and then He leads that soul into a true sense of its emptiness and its barrenness. And this has to happen for anyone to ever appreciate salvation. We talked about this morning. I mean, God's got to bring a man down to his emptiness and his barrenness. For anyone will ever appreciate salvation and to be thankful for the grace of God in our Lord Jesus Christ that saves a sinner. You realize that you're nothing. And once He makes you nothing, you know how long you'll be a nothing? All the days you're on this earth. That's how long. Before God. Before God. You all are something to me, but when we stand before God, we're nothing. And we know that. And God leads Israel into the wilderness. Why? To save them. To save them. Look here in verse 3. So they're here. They're caught in this place. They're here in the wilderness. And behind them is a bunch of rocks. And right in front of them is a Red Sea. Right in front of them is a Red Sea. They're in a helpless condition. This is what's going to happen. For Pharaoh will say of the children of Israel, they are entangled in the land. The wilderness has shut them in. And that's the way he looks at them. They're there. They're shut in. There's no place for them to go. They got the Red Sea in front of them. They got wilderness behind them. And how in the world are they going to get out of this situation? Well, God brings a soul, and that can get Israel here, into this place, this helpless condition. And the Lord led them to this place. And that's like he leads a convicted sinner to come into a place that he's got no way out except the Lord Jesus Christ. And they were caught. What does it say? They were caught in verse 3 there. They were caught between the camp between the sea and Baal Zephon before the camp and camp by the sea. And God brought them to this place. Made Pharaoh to run after them. Just to show them, now listen to me, his wisdom and power in saving them. They were brought to this awful place where sinners are brought. Here's the enemy, God's broken holy law. Over here is the judgment and justice of God. Well, how in the world are we here, and there's that broken law, and over here is the justice and truth of God. How in the world are we going to be saved between those two things? How's it going to happen? You know, I remember when I first started learning the gospel, maybe some of y'all remember when we was in that old building down there. The first couple of years, all in the world I could preach on is how God could be just. and save sinners like us. And that's the situation they were in. They're caught here. They can't go this way. And they can't go that way. And here comes Pharaoh. So if God's got His law, you can't run back to it. And you got judgment and justice over here. You can't run into that. So what are you going to do? You got one place to go. And that's what happened. Did God make a mistake? Now He shows us our human inability. Did God make a mistake and lead them into this trap? Pharaoh will say, the enemy will say, I've got them, they're entangled, and I've got them shut in. And I've got them. I've got them. And oh, but look what happens. This is what happens. Look down verse 9 and 10. But after the Egyptians pursued after them, all the horses and chariots of Pharaoh and his horsemen and his army, encamping beside the sea, and when Pharaoh drew nigh, the children of Israel lifted up their eyes, and behold, the Egyptians marched after them, and they were sore afraid. And listen now, and the children of Israel done what only we can do. Cried unto the Lord. What else are they going to do? What else are they going to do? Right, listen, they looked over and there's Pharaoh coming. Looked over here and there's the Red Sea. Oh, Lord, save me. Oh, Lord, I can't get out of this situation. Lord, save me. I'm caught here. There's no way I can get out of this. Who else are they going to call on? Who else are they going to call on? But I tell you, they only called on Him when they were sore afraid. When you get sore afraid. The first message I preached to Scott Richardson back in 1980, I guess it was. I gave him 6 reasons why I believed I was one of God's sheep. And the first one was this. God taught me how He can be just and justify a sinner like me. How can God do that? And I tell you, whenever you get in this situation and you're caught, you can't go back, you can't go forward. You can't go this way, you can't go that way. You can't go back to your old religion. You can't go back to your old profession. You can't run to the water. You can't run to the law. It's done convicted you. You can't run over here and say, oh Lord, just please have mercy on me because I didn't mean to do it. And there you are, you cry caught and you become so afraid. How can God have anything to do with me? Here comes the enemy. I'm surrounded. How in the world am I going to get out of this? Oh Lord, we're like Bartimaeus. Oh Son of David, hush, hush, hush. When they told him to hush, he cried the more, said, oh, Jesus, thou Son of David, wilt thou have mercy on me? Huh? And when those disciples were in that ship and that storm come, our Lord Jesus Christ was laying there. They woke Him up. Carest thou not that we perish? Wind stopped. The wind stopped. Oh my. I tell you what, all earthly help and hope must be cut off before anyone will cry unto the Lord. I mean, it's got to be cut off. Cut off. A soul has to be shut up to faith. And there's nothing else he can do. When the disciples was walking with the Lord Jesus, and He said, no man can come unto me like I told you except the Father sent me draw him. They said, this is a hard saying. Who can hear it? And they turned and walked no more with the Lord Jesus. And he turned around and looked at all his disciples. He said, I guess you all going to go away too then, huh? You all going to go away. He said, Lord, go away? Go away? Where could we go? Where could we go? You have the words of eternal life. Where could we go? That's where we got to. And when Peter was walking on the water, said, Lord, if that's you, bid me come to you. Lord's walking on the water toward the ship. If that's you, Lord, let me come. Tell me to come. Come on. He stepped off that boat, you know. He climbed up on the edge of the rail and stepped off on the water. He was walking. He was walking on the water, I'm telling you, just like Christ was. A big old wave rolled over him. He started going down. He was in a helpless, hopeless situation. You know what he said? Lord, save me. I perish. That's what's happening to these folks. Huh? But oh my. And I tell you what. Look what the salvation of the Lord. Look at the salvation of the Lord now. Oh, they cried. They cried unto the Lord. Now look down here in verse 13. Look at the salvation of the Lord. And Moses said unto the people. It's the first thing he said. Fear not. Fear ye not. I tell you what. You fear everything until you hear this from the Lord. Fear not. Fear sin. Fear self. Fear flesh. Fear religion. Fear carnal reasoning. Fear not. But then he says, stand still and see the salvation of the Lord, which he will show you today. When he says, stand still, you know, Psalm 46, it says, be still. Be still and know that I am the Lord. Stand still. Stand still. Cease from your works. Cease from your worrying. Cease from your fretting. Cease from your fear. You're going to see something. You're going to see some salvation. And he said, see the salvation. Listen to this. He said, see the salvation of the Lord. Now I'll say this. I'll say this, and I know everybody here believes this. If they don't, they ought to. If anyone ever sees and experiences salvation, it will be of the Lord and the Lord alone. Ain't that right?
Amen.
You know what? I tell you what. Simeon saw the salvation of the Lord. Abraham saw the salvation of the Lord. Jacob saw the salvation of the Lord. Jonah said, salvation is of the Lord. Everybody who's ever been saved and experienced the grace of God, every single one of them will say, the Lord saved me. Salvation is of the Lord. Anybody here that God didn't save by himself? Anybody cooperate with him? Anybody did he ask for your help? Did he ask you to cooperate? Did he say that I will if you'll let me? No, no, no. He come just like here and told him to stand still now. Just be still. Just stop. You wait. And you're going to see something. You're going to see God save. You're going to see. And their salvation was not of works nor of words. Look what it says in verse 14. I love this right here. The Lord shall fight for you. The Lord shall fight for you. He said, you know what you do? Just keep your mouth shut. Let the Lord fight the battle. That's what he said. Hold your peace. Just be quiet. Hold your peace. The Lord shall fight for you, and you shall hold your peace. Oh my. Those Pharisees, how they labored. Paul says, you know, I bear them record that they have a zeal of God, but it's not according to knowledge. For they go about to establish their own righteousness and have not submitted themselves to the righteousness of God. For Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone that believes. And men will labor and they'll be zealous, but it'll absolutely profit them nothing. In fact, it'll make their combination worse. Be still and see the salvation of the Lord. And that's what you know. That's why you know, this is the best thing anybody can do if they're not saved by the grace of God. God ain't done nothing for them. Is keep under the sound of the gospel. Keep under the sound of the gospel. Stay under the sound of the gospel. That's the only way in the world that God will speak to you. And God will instruct you and teach you. And with one of these days, you'll say, yep, I see it, I got it. I understand it. Did I tell you all about that time over in Cherokee? There was a woman over there. She'd been old. You know, Henry was probably in his late 50s then. Early 60s, maybe, mid-50s. But he asked Doris. They had a meal over there in the evening. And he asked Doris, would you get me a cup of coffee? Well, this woman heard him, you know, said, asked Doris to get him a cup of coffee. She said to herself, why don't he get up and get his own coffee? And she got mad and she left the service. I could tell you her name. And she got up and left the service. Upset, mad, aggravated that a man would ask a woman to bring him a cup of coffee. Surely he got fixed me a cup of coffee this evening. We split it. We drink out of the same cup, off the same side. But that upset that woman. And she left. She's upset. She said something about it before she left. About halfway through the service, she come back through the door. She come in the door. Pope was up this here and the door's there. And she come through that door. She come walking right down to the middle of the in the aisle and walked, stood about halfway between the last pulpit and the front. And she said, I see the Lord. I've been so mean and I don't know the Lord and I've been so hateful that I want you all to know right now, God save me. God used her getting mad over a cup of coffee to open her heart. And she come in there and apologized to everybody and asked God to forgive her and save her right there in the middle of that service. And the Lord, and I'll tell you what, she changed just like that. Nobody knew that till she told it later. Oh God, listen, He works in mysterious ways, His wonders to perform. So you know, no matter what you get upset about, that may be the very thing that God uses to save you. So it's see the salvation of the Lord by presence and by power. Now look down here in verse 21. Here's this miraculous salvation of the Lord. Look how miraculous it is. Verse 21, and Moses stretched out his hand over the sea. And the Lord caused the sea to go backward by a strong east wind all that night and made the sea, dry land, and the waters were a wall unto them on the right hand and on the left. Oh my. It's Pharaoh. They're caught. And then God said, listen, Moses, lift up that. He said back up there in verse 16, lift up your rod, stretch it out over the sea. And he said, You divide it. And beloved, he held that up and the sea parted. I don't know. It had to part a long, long way. The estimate is that there was 2 million Jews that came up out of Israel, out of Egypt. 2 million of them. And when you got 2 million people, you got babies, You got grannies, you got grandmas, you got teenagers, you got old folks, you got middle age, you got great big families, and then they got to carry all their stuff with them at the same time. Their kneading troughs, their clothes, their food. So here you got 2 million people. You know how. And God said He'd send them down through there by fives. Oh, what a way of salvation. And this is all of God's doing. The blood was shed in Exodus 12. The blood of the Lamb was shed and put on the old door. The blood of the Lamb was roasted. That ram was roasted. Roasted in God's judgment and justice. That lamb was eaten. That lamb was taken. And we eat the blood and drink the blood and eat the flesh of our Lord Jesus Christ in the gospel. And I tell you what, beloved, and after that blood's been shed, and that's now if they're going to walk on this ground after the blood's been shed and after the lamb's been eaten and the lamb's been roasted, it's time now to go out. And here they go. And He saves His, manifests His saving power because the blood has been shed. Now their enemies behind, the sea before. How are they going to be saved? It'll take a miracle. It's a miracle. It's an absolute miracle. It's a supernatural act of God Himself. It'll take the supernatural power of God. And I tell you something, beloved, God saved them in such a way that He gets all the glory and they don't get any.
Amen.
What? And listen. People talk about miracles. Miracles. They have a TV show on one of these channels I've seen before called the Miracle Network. The Miracle Network. Every soul saved by the grace of God, wherever they are, whenever it happens, it's a miracle, a supernatural act of God. It's something that only God can do. Nobody else can do it. And God has to make the way. The blood's got to be shed. The lamb's got to be roasted. The lamb's got to. And there's folks left there with their stuff, their clothes on their feet. Their clothes, their feet on, shoes on their feet to lead out of there. And God saves us in such a way that He gets all the glory. That's what He sung tonight. To God be the glory. Great things He has done. Great things He has taught us. Great things He has done. And God has opened for us, me and you, for His people, a new and a living way. Look with me in Hebrews 10. I want us to look together at this in Hebrews 10. Hebrews 10. Talking about if we don't see that the salvations of the Lord through Christ and because of Christ, because of the blood shedding and the Lamb. But look what He said here in verse 19. Hebrews 10, 19. Having therefore, brethren, boldness. And that word boldness in the margin means liberty. Freedom. Freedom and liberty to enter into the holiest. The holiest. There's two places in the tabernacle. There was the holy place when you come in the door. 15 by 15. You went behind the veil. That's the holiest of all. That's where the mercy seat was. That's where the cherubims were over the golden ark. And the mercy seat. And beloved, we don't even have to go through the holy way now. We go straight into the holiest of all. And you know who our mercy seat is? The Lord Jesus Christ. You know where the blood's at? On the mercy seat, our Lord Jesus Christ. And God opened a way for us through Him, and that's what He says. By the blood of Jesus, by the blood of Jesus, by a new and a living way. The old way was going to the tabernacle, going through the law, offering sacrifice. That's the old way. by a new and living way, which he hath newly made. That's what that consecrated me. Newly made for us. Through the veil. You know, you had to go behind the veil to get into that holiest place. Well, you know what the veil was that Christ let us in through? Through the veil, that is to say, his flesh. So we get to go into the holiest because Christ's flesh was the veil and he took that veil away. And so we get to go into the presence of God. And then he said, let us draw near with a true heart full of assurance. And let's draw near. Let's draw near. The way through the sea, and this is the thing. The way through that sea had to be maintained until the last soul got on the other side. And, you know, God's going to maintain the way until the last soul crosses over. And when that last soul is brought in, mark her down, boy, the Red Sea going to fall on all of our enemies. Oh my. That's what our Lord Jesus Christ, that's why he said, without me you can do nothing. And I said this morning, he said he should lose nothing but raise it up again at the last days. There was people going across there carrying babies. One or two day old babies. There was old women going across there that barely couldn't go. Old men, middle aged people just like us, all ages and kinds of people. And it had to stay up there till 2 million people went across there. And when that last one set his foot over here on the promised land, God said, that's it. That's it. There's no danger of the water come down upon them and drown them. You sometimes think it might, but it won't. I said, our Lord said this, when you go through the water, it shall not overflow you. Huh? Now look at saving faith here. I've seen this new and living way. Look here, it's a saving faith. Look in verse 15. And the Lord said unto Moses, wherefore criest thou unto me? Speak unto the children of Israel that they go forward. That they go forward. And then down in verse 22, and the children of went into the midst of the sea. He said, tell them to start. They, when they started across there, the first person that stepped in there stepped on dry ground. And they just kept coming and kept coming. Huh? Go forward. Here we go. Here we go. And that's what we do. We go forward. We're going forward toward Christ. We're looking toward Christ. Now I want to say a few things about this. Basically, God said, go forward. Don't stand here and look at me. Don't stand here and think about it. Don't stand here and wonder about it. Go. And they went. And they went. Beloved, it's not enough to hear there is a way. That's not enough. It's not enough to know that there's a way. It's not enough to look and see the way. To even praise the way. To magnify the wisdom and power of Him who made the way. They had to go into the midst of that sea. And that's what's got to happen to anybody. You don't stand there and look and say, boy, I tell you what, I enjoy this way. I like this way. I like this gospel. I like what these people believe. I like what everything's going on here. But I'm telling you what, that ain't enough. You know what you got to do? You got to go forward. You got to come. Go forward to Christ. You got to enter in. Ain't that right? They just stood there. Oh, Moses, what's going to happen? Stand still, see the salvation of the Lord. Next word was, go forward. Oh, my. It must be entered. They went in. to the midst of the scene. The enemy is hot on their trail. And what I'm telling you is, lay hold on eternal life. Lay hold on eternal life. I remember years and years ago, we come just about this close to going into business. And me, a preacher, you know, I come about that close. I had a business opportunity to come about that close getting in it. And I talked to Scott about it. You know what Scott said? He said, you can't hold on to two things at the same time, preacher. He said, I don't believe I'd get a hold of that. If I got a hold of anything, I believe I'd lay hold on eternal life. And that's it. And boy, I tell you what, that saved me from making a mess. He told me that. Said, you know, you're a preacher, and said, you can't hold on to two things at the same time. Said, one of them's going to have to be let go. He said, let that go and lay hold on eternal life. Never forget that. And I've laid hold on it and still laying hold on it. Huh? Lay hold on eternal life. And that's what I'm telling you. You know, there's no condemnation to who? Them that are in Christ Jesus. Huh? Oh, and then look at this blessed, blessed protection. Verse 19 and 20. And the angel of God, which went before the camp of Israel, removed and went behind them. Got up and went behind them. An angel did now that made this thing. He's right in front of them. He got up and went behind them. And the pillar of the cloud which went from before their face and stood behind them. And it came between the camp of the Egyptians and the camp of the Israelites. And it was a cloud and darkness to them, but it gave light to night by these, so that the one came not near to another. And what a place of safety. What a place of safety. Our enemies, this world is dark to them. The thing is dark to them. To us it's light. On one side it's dark, the other side is light. Paul said, if our gospel be hid, it's hid to them that are lost. But those who are in the way, those who are in the way, going through this wilderness here, they're going to be protected. Who's going to protect them? The angel of God. The angel of God, our Lord Jesus Christ. It's called the pillar of His presence. And there's such a difference in us and in the world. Egypt, they see darkness. We see light. Talked about election this morning. You talk about election to somebody that don't believe it, and it's darkness to them. But bright light to us. We talk about the righteousness of Christ. Beautiful, bright light to us. Darkness to them. Sins, past, present, and future gone. That's darkness to them. They got to stop their own sinning. Oh, my. Oh, bless His name. They want war. We want peace. They love darkness. We love light. They walk in darkness. We walk in the light. And I'll tell you something. God's people will be kept in this way. And the Scripture says they came not nigh to each other. Thank God He separated them. He's going to separate us from one of these days. Oh, bless His name. Let me show you something else. I'm going to wind it up. Look here in verse chapter 15, verse 1. After God saved them, took them through the Red Sea, salvations of the Lord, go fight their battles for them, took them in, protected them, preserved them. Look at this song. Then sang Moses. They got to the other side there. Moses wrote a song. Moses wrote a song. I tell you, it's something to sing about, ain't it? When the Lord saves you. Then sang Moses. That's what the psalmist said. The Lord hath picked me up out of an horrible pit, out of the miry clay, and set my feet upon a rock and established my goings, and put a new song in my mouth even praise unto our God. Then sang Moses and the children of Israel this song unto the Lord, and spake, saying, I will sing unto the Lord. Listen to this. For he triumphed gloriously. Gloriously. The horse and his rider hath he thrown into the sea. And oh my. And the children of Israel, when they got over there, look down here in verse 30. I want you to see this real quick. I forgot about bringing this in here. Thus the Lord saved Israel that day out of the hand of the Egyptians, and Israel saw the Egyptians dead upon the sea shore. All of our enemies are dead. We're going to have to face them again. We ain't going to have to face our sin. We ain't going to have to face judgment. And there ain't nothing coming after us that can hurt us. They look back and all them folks they're scared of, they're dead. All our sins are dead, gone. But oh, look at this song here. And that's verse 2 says this. The Lord is my strength and song. He has become my salvation. He is my God. And I will prepare him a habitation in my Father's God. And I will exalt him. Not unto us, O Lord, not unto us, but unto thy name be glory. Thanks be unto God, which always causes us to triumph in Christ. You read this on your own time. There are three thines in this psalm. 10 thous. 11 thys. Thine, thou, and thys. But guess what's not mentioned in there? No me's. No me's. No me's in there. Huh? Oh, no me's in there. Well, thank God for salvation. Oh, thank God for salvation. And I tell you, beloved, I know it's a miracle. I know that my salvation is an utter and absolute miracle.